Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to RSJ Radio. I'm Nicole DiDonato.
And I'm Lindsay Christopher.
It's a really chilly one outside today, partly cloudy, feeling like 1 degrees.
Wyerton Willie was right. These 6 more weeks of winter are killing me.
Tell me about it. Apparently no one told the organizers at Allen Gardens that spring has not quite sprung.
Yeah, but more on their flower show later.
Speaking of today's stories, did you hear that Ryerson has bed bugs? Oh, I'm just getting the creepy crawlies thinking about it.
And they haven't even paid tuition. Also on today's show, Katy Perry kissed a boy, but he did not like it.
On a more serious note, we'll be talking about the Ajax triple homicide, U.S.-Canada relations, and an update on the U.S. spy poisoning.
Without further ado, let's begin.
U.S. President Donald Trump admits to lying during a meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Trump reportedly bragged about making up trade facts at a fundraising event in Missouri on Wednesday. He told Trudeau that the U.S. runs a trade deficit with Canada. When called out by Trudeau, Trump states he had no idea that there wasn't a trade deficit between the two countries. This isn't the first time Trump has complained about Canada. In February, Trump said that the U.S. loses a lot to their northern neighbors.
In other international news, Russia promises it will retaliate against the UK's expulsion of 23 Russian diplomats. The UK alleges that Russia is responsible for poisoning a former Russian spy and his daughter on British land. Russia denies involvement in the attack and demands proof from the UK. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau condemns the likely Russian involvement and stands behind Britain.
In other news, United Airlines landed themselves in hot water this week. Two American families were distraught after their beloved pets were mishandled by the airline. Philip Zizek, an avid dog lover, was shocked when he heard the news. We go to him now to hear what he has to say.
I love my dog, Marco. He's the sweetest boy. My heart broke when I heard the terrible news about what happened to those poor dogs in the United flights. On Monday, a passenger's French bulldog puppy tragically died on a flight to New York. A flight attendant forced her to put her bag in an overhead bin, even though her dog was in it. The very next day, an incident with a German Shepherd happened. He was moving to Kansas with his family and ended up in Japan. I've never been comfortable with the idea of putting animals in cages for flights. I would rather drive my dog cross-country than leave him alone in a cage. I can only imagine how horrible that must be for them. 2 incidents in 2 days is completely unacceptable, and somebody at United needs to do something about this. For RSJ Radio, I'm Philip Zickich. Back to you in the studio.
A man who allegedly murdered an Ajax mother and her 2 teenage children is expected to appear in court today. Corey Fenn is charged with 3 counts of second-degree murder in connection with the deaths. Police say they believe Fenn was romantically involved with the mother. Police say Krasimira Pechenovsky and her son Roy were found dead in their Ajax home Wednesday afternoon. They say the woman's daughter was found in the home with critical injuries and died in hospital. The staff of a Toronto minor league hockey team say Roy was a star goalie for the Don Mills Flyers. He was a prospect in next year's Ontario League draft. The story is ongoing.
As Nicole already mentioned, Ryerson University has bed bugs. The university has confirmed that there's an infestation in the Victoria building. Students say they've been bitten by bed bugs while attending class. Ryerson officials say they're handling the situation and have moved students out of the classrooms. But how did the bed bugs get on campus in the first place, and what does it all mean for the status of our school? Nicole Peterson has the story.
If you see a small, dark red creature about the size of an apple seed crawling around in your desk during class, be careful. It's probably a bed bug. Many students, like third-year industrial engineering student Adam Sharif, says bed bugs on campus are gross.
We all had this placebo effect. We're so paranoid about this. Like, we're all scratching ourselves for no reason and all that. It's not fun.
Third-year economics student Nasir Hossein says something needs to be done.
It is Ryerson's property. I mean, they're fully liable for this. I mean, you want students to be safe. You want students to actually come to classes. You want students to participate. And I think this is a way for Ryerson to be tested, in a sense, how they're going to approach this.
How did these bed bugs get here in the first place? Is there something wrong with our campus? Something important to note, bed bugs don't equal a dirty place. Muhammad Akram is a bed bug expert who works for the company Pest Solution in Toronto.
Their food is only human blood, so it's not related to any cleanliness and not related to the dirtiness.
He describes the little critters as, quote, hitchhikers, who can latch onto your clothing or bags and travel with you. And they can multiply, fast. How to get rid of them? Akram says that depends on how infested the place is. Ryerson officials say they're on the job, though as of yet, there's no indication of this in the Victoria building. No signs, no workers, and no dogs. Ryerson officials say they've relocated students from Victoria building classrooms. Today, they'll be bringing in a dog to sniff out the creepy crawlers. Then, the rooms will be sealed off and steamed to kill the bugs. It seems like the news has everyone on campus scratching at their skin, but not everyone's freaked out. Nasir Hossein has this to say.
Well, I mean, we share the world with a lot of species, so it's not like we own the place, so I think it's fine. Just the way that we approach it should be quite professional.
For RSJ Radio, I'm Nicole Peterson.
Doug Ford and Kathleen Wynn are at it again. The two candidates are now debating on Ontario marijuana sales. Ford has suggested that he'd prefer a free market when it comes to selling weed. Wynn said that privatizing pot sales is a reckless idea. The Ontario government will open 40 government-controlled stores this summer. They are hoping to open more than 150 stores by 2020.
More than 200 TTC employees have been dismissed for allegedly defrauding the transit system. A release on Wednesday says an investigation began in 2014 after the TTC received an anonymous tip on its integrity line. TTC reported that its employees, along with an orthotics business, have been making improper health insurance claims. The people involved allegedly share the money paid out by Manulife Financial. So far, 10 former employees have been charged with fraud. The TTC is suing Manulife Financial and the orthotics brand for up to $5 million.
In sports news, after winning their first ever gold medal in provincials, the Ryerson women's volleyball team gets set to take on nationals. They are one of the many teams who found success this year. Tasala Tahir spoke to the man behind Ryerson Athletics to explore how these teams do it.
Last week in Halifax, Ryerson's men's basketball came home with a national silver medal. Despite the heartbreaking two-point loss, it is still a fun time to be a Rams fan. Volleyball, basketball, hockey, soccer, men and women all made the playoffs this year. But there was a time when Ryerson was not an athletic powerhouse. The university's athletic director, Ivan Joseph, remembers that time very well.
Well, I would say this, that we were probably a culture of good enough. And I can't say that it's all because of what I did. I think the expectations were different. It was not unusual for all of our teams not to have winning records. It wasn't unusual for intramural students to have to pay money to participate. Our stands were empty.
But it has been a different story in the last few years. The women's volleyball team begin their quest for a national gold tomorrow. But Joseph said it is something else that excites him.
For me, the excitement isn't in the winning and the losing. So whether they all made it or not is really irrelevant to me. I still have some goals that haven't been finished, so I wouldn't say that this is the most exciting time.
If this year tells us anything about the future of Ryerson Athletics, it is safe to say that it's looking pretty ram-tastic. Tasala Tahir, RSJ Radio, Toronto.
Canada continues to roll at the Paralympics. The Canadian athletes won 6 medals over the past 2 days, 1 gold and 5 bronze. Brian McKeever won gold in the 1.5-kilometer visually impaired cross-country sprint final. This is the 12th gold of McKeever's career and his second in Pyeongchang. Natalie Wilkie is the youngest member of the Paralympic team at 17 years old. She won bronze in the women's standing sprint. Canada now has 16 medals and is in 6th on the medal table.
It's official, Vancouver will not be hosting the World Cup Games in 2026. Tourism Minister Lisa Baer confirmed yesterday that British Columbia is officially out of the running. She says the province is uncomfortable with one of the application clauses, one that would allow FIFA to make changes to their bid at any point. Baer says this clause could potentially cost the taxpayers more than they're willing to spend.
Big news for Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer fans. It has been confirmed that Canada's sweethearts and Olympic gold medalists will be dancing on Ellen next week. Tessa took to Twitter to announce the exciting news. Her tweet jokes that the pair's training for their upcoming tour is actually just in preparation for their Ellen show entrance. Ellen replied to Tessa saying, "Just tell me what music you want. I'm ready."
In local news, Toronto's Allen Gardens Conservatory is bringing spring early. Their spring flower show runs until April, and a new display will arrive in their dome next Monday. RSJ reporter Cindy DeLuca has the story.
That is going to open into a beautiful kind of neon blue flower.
Daffodils, tulips, hydrangeas, and more. These are just some of the plants people are admiring today. It's how Allen Gardens is bringing spring early. Curtis Evoy is the supervisor of Toronto's conservatories. He says the show gives people the chance to rejuvenate after a long and cold winter.
People are craving for color this time of year. There's not much color outside in the gardens right now. Everything's, you know, brown and gray and a little bit of green, but in here they can see, you know, pinks and purples and white and blues, and they love that color this time of year. But it gives people ideas of what's possible with plants.
Parents are taking advantage of March break and bringing their children to see the spring show.
It's March break, and my daughter is off from school, and so we thought we would come down and look around.
I feel, like, really happy because I like nature.
The gardens are open every day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and admission is free. It's a short walk from Ryerson to the gardens, so take the time to stop by and smell the roses. Or the daffodils. For RSJ Radio, I'm Cindy DeLuca.
In entertainment news, Black Panther has hit another milestone. The newest movie in the Marvel franchise has topped $1.1 billion worldwide. It has passed the global totals of Transformers, Age of Extinction, and Skyfall, making it the 18th biggest global grosser of all time. As well, if it manages to hold its number one position at the box office this weekend, it will be the first flick since Avatar to top the weekend box office for five straight weeks.
It is a fine balance between finding a stable career and following your passion. Post-secondary students deal with this constantly. Reporter Tasala Tahir caught up with one of those students. Here is the story to remind young people that it's okay to pursue what you want and love most.
Imagine going to school thinking you're going to study one thing. Then you realize that's not what you wanted at all. You drop what you're doing to pursue your passion. Well, for Sabrina Patel, this was not an imagination. This was her reality.
So I'm gonna take you to one of my favorite spots where I like to shoot, Harbourfront, downtown Toronto. Oh, there's a seat. Do you want to sit?
Sorry, buddy.
When I first graduated high school, I went straight into university at Wilfrid Laurier University. I took communications for one semester, and I realized it just wasn't for me. The program was just very strict, as in, like, book-wise, I guess, and I'm more of, I guess, a hands-on type of learner. In the beginning of starting the year at Laurier, I was a bit lost, and some people just told me to stick it out, you know, you'll figure your way, like, it's normal to feel lost. And, I did stick it out for most of it. And then I realized it was just like the feeling of just accepting that this isn't what you want to do. It's a nice feeling. I don't know how to word it, but it's like the first step to realizing what you actually want to do. I remember bursting into my friend's dorm room across from the hall from me, taking my computer with the George Brown video production design outline on my computer, like bursting into their room, sitting down and being like, guys, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm not happy here right now, but I love you guys, but I'm gonna do this. And they were like completely supportive.
Oh, the CN Tower looks nice from here. a good one. So next we're going to go to one of my favorite spots. I believe it's called the Music Garden. I know I should know because I go so often, but it's really beautiful there.
Finding the strength in herself to pursue a very competitive field of photography and film was not easy for Patel. Telling her parents was difficult.
When I first told my parents, they weren't too happy in the beginning. My dad has always been a pretty supportive parent. He's always been like, if you like what you do, then do it 100%. My mom, it took her some time. She's very strict. Once she realized the content that I was creating and I showed her what it was, what my grades were like in college and how I was doing, she started to realize, okay, like this is what she actually likes. She's progressing and she's happy with what she does and she's creating things that like other people can't, using like Premiere Pro and like Photoshop, and I think those are pretty important skills.
There's always a silver lining to a tough situation in life. Patel now feels like she is doing what she was meant to do.
My brother and his wife are 100% supportive. They helped me just like plan out my, so before you apply to George Brown and before you get accepted, you have to put together this whole portfolio. So they sat down with me, they helped with my written part of the portfolio, which was nice of them, and they were just there for like the entire process. I feel like career-wise, ideally, I'd like to end up either being in the production side of advertising or an editing job with either with like movies or TV shows. And then like the dream job obviously would be directing a movie or TV show. This experience has taught me that it's okay not to follow the traditional path or the career that'll end up making money. I feel like at the end of the day, it's important to do what you're happy with and you enjoy getting up in the morning, going to work, rather than just dreading the day, starting off in the morning. Because I feel like if you're happy with your job, it won't matter how much money you make because you're happy with what you do and you have to be happy with it because you're going to do it every day.
Many millennials go through similar experiences as Patel. Her story sheds light on the pursuit of finding a way to make a career out of what you love. But most importantly, it proves that if you are passionate about something, you will find a way to make it work. So for all of you still figuring out what you want to do in your life, don't worry, you will get there. For RSJ Radio, I'm Tasala Tahir.
In other news, Drake is making big waves in the music industry. But last night, he showed his passion for gaming. He played Fortnite for nearly an hour with Ninja, a Twitch streamer. The stream peaked 630,000 concurrent viewers. It was the most watched non-tournament stream in the site's history. The two were later joined by celebrities Travis Scott and Juju Smith-Schuster, a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
After months of rumors, iHeartRadio has filed for financial protection. Their bankruptcy declaration will reduce the company's debt by more than $10 billion. But don't fret about the changes on your favorite radio stations anytime soon. The radio powerhouse has released a statement saying they plan on continuing business as usual.
In other bankruptcy news, online shopping and mobile games have officially pushed Toys R Us out of business. The popular toy store says they are planning on liquidating their assets at all U.S. locations. However, they are hoping to find a buyer for their online store and Canadian locations. The brand says they are likely going to liquidate their business internationally. They have already started shutting down their stores in the United Kingdom.
If you're a female who feels uncomfortable using Uber, you'll be happy to hear that DriveHer is coming to Toronto. The new ride-sharing platform is exclusively run and used by women. It is set to launch tomorrow, with over 100 female drivers already signed up to hit the road. Peter Ash has the report.
Drive him? No, drive her. A new service called DriveHer will be exclusively for women, the drivers, and the passengers. The initiative is for women who otherwise feel uncomfortable or unsafe getting into a car with a male driver. So far, 100 women have signed up as drivers. However, early childhood education student Selena Nguyen says that even though she understands the idea, she doesn't necessarily agree with having a single gendered service.
Straight up, I find that there shouldn't be a drive woman kind of thing, because it just really does like isolate like men from women. There's no reason for a woman to have a drive her. It's just how shitty like people are in this world.
Saeed Naki thinks that the service is actually a good idea. He believes women should feel safe when they get into a car.
It's a good initiative. I think like they feel unsafe driving Ubers or other apps like Lyft. So I guess if there is an app that's only for women, so that would be a good idea.
Clearly, the service is going to make some noise. One way or another. For RSA Radio, I'm Peter Ash.
In related news, singer and American Idol judge Katy Perry kissed a contestant during his audition. The kiss was Benjamin Glaze's first. Perry tried to make his teenage dream come true, but it seems he's not that into California girls. The Oklahoma singer says he was uncomfortable when Perry kissed him. Glaze says he wanted to save his first kiss for someone special. Perry has received a lot of criticism in response to this. Fans have said that if Perry were a male judge and Glaze were a female contestant, the kiss would have been seen as assault. Glaze took to social media to defend the pop star.
More locally, musicians are refusing to play at a popular Toronto music venue. This comes after sexual assault allegations against the owner of the Smiling Buddha. Lucan Y has been charged with one count of sexual assault in February. Matthew Sandrin, a longtime Smiling Buddha employee and promoter, has quit his job. Sandrin is relocating over 30 shows that he scheduled. Organizers for Canadian Music Week are following in his footsteps. They are rescheduling all shows booked at the Smiling Buddha.
In other Toronto news, protests at the University of Toronto continue. Law students and faculty of U of T walked out of class and gathered for a teach-in on Wednesday. The walkout was part of a larger initiative by law schools across Canada to raise awareness and open up a conversation in the wake of the Colton Bushi and Tina Fontaine cases. Approximately 100 students and faculty gathered in the Jackman Law Building atrium to take part in the discussion.
In related news, students have been working hard to honor the victims this past month since the Parkland shooting. They took part in a 17-minute walkout on Wednesday morning to protest gun laws. Schools across the U.S. and Canada also participated in the walkout. This is the first in a series of teenage activism events against gun laws planned by students. March for Our Lives is the next planned protest on gun laws. Millions of students across the U.S. and Canada are planning on joining the march.
In other news, world-famous physicist Stephen Hawking has died at the age of 76. Hawking died at his home in Cambridge early Wednesday morning. Hawking passed after a long battle with a rare form of motor neuron disease. Hawking was famous for his work with black holes and relativity, and wrote several popular science books. His most famous book, A Brief History of Time, has now shot to the top of the Amazon bestsellers list.
Stephen Hawking will definitely be missed. The Good Food Center just keeps on winning. In the fall, students voted for an increase in funding for their initiative. Today, RU Eats has named the Good Food Center Charity of the Year. Zaina Salem has the story.
Every week, there's a line out of the door for free access to healthier food choices. The line starts at the Good Food Center, and they have had a successful year. In the fall, students voted to increase funding for this initiative. The Good Food Center offers free food, vegan and vegetarian selections, as well as hosting community dinners. With all of the good they have done for students, the work will never be done. Today, RU Eats has named the Good Food Center Charity of the Year. RU Eats gave a $250 donation in support of this initiative. One of the coordinators of the center, Kimberly Vaz, says the money will help increase food bank services.
Increasing our food bank service, that tends to be our biggest program. So we will not only be open 5 days a week, but we'll also get more deliveries, have better food selections, and we'll also have more staff to man the to oversee the food bank. We are also going to use some of our funding to do more food-related programming, so that will be around skills in education, community cooking events.
Vaz, who is also a third-year social work student, says their work helps limit financial pressure on students and brings the community together.
Also, there is something to be said about creating a community around food. We all eat, and so it can be really special to be able to share either a meal with someone or have conversations around meal prep or around food. We find that we have like a lot of really wholesome and powerful moments that come out of being in the food bank and working in the food bank and connecting with students.
The center has tried to launch their own initiative to raise money through Soups for Cents, where they give free soup to students for a low cost. This donation can help with future campaigns and programs to promote healthy food choices at a low cost. This is Zaina Salim for RSJ Radio.
Thanks, Zaina. A second video has surfaced tying Jigmeet Singh to discussions of Sikh sovereignty. The footage is from a National Sikh Youth Federation event in 2016. The NDP leader released a statement yesterday that he condemns all acts of terrorism. This comes after it was revealed he participated in a rally in 2015 that celebrated a controversial Sikh preacher. Singh has not yet addressed the second video.
In other news, a Forbes article lists Inspire Restaurant as one of the best in Toronto. The owners are opening their second restaurant in a couple months, and they hope for the same success. Nicole Peterson talked to the owners about how they manage their family and business.
Good afternoon, Inspire.
Well, I was born in Calcutta, India. Either you did leather or you were in a restaurant business. So there was a lot of street food around us. A lot of rice puffs, a lot of fresh herbs, a lot of spices. So all those little things later on crept up and it just naturally came out, I want to cook.
Carlton Chung opened Inspire Restaurant 4 years ago in Markham. He handles the kitchen and his wife Vanessa manages the servers and administrative work.
I did attend culinary management at George Brown. I didn't finish it. I felt in my heart of hearts, you can learn cooking in a classroom. So I took it upon myself to apply to be in a position in the kitchen. So 7 years later, I had an idea of what my restaurant would be like.
You call lettuce wrap, extra butter, straight fire.
Jordy, one salmon burger, please.
Carlton describes his food as modern fusion. He combines different flavors from around the world to create unique dishes. Some of their most popular dishes are the chicken and waffles, the Inspire burger, and the duck tacos. Inspire Restaurant has been successful, but not without a few bumps in the road.
So I have a baby. He is 1 year old. And during that time of when I was pregnant to when I gave birth to him, I only took maybe 2 months off in total. A big reason why I came back so early is because I had to be responsible, so I have to be here. You have to put in the hours as a restaurateur. You have to. You can't just, you know, satellite it from your living room or your bedroom. You have to be here in the dirty, day in and day out to put in the hours. And another of the reasons, not a pretty reason, I guess, is nearly all of my staff left to go work somewhere else. And we found that out all of a sudden, 2 months in, my baby was only 2 months old. And of course, when 90% of your staff leave, that's quite an issue. So I had to come back to work to, you know, hold on to the ship, basically.
It starts from the foundation, which is Inspire One. This is the father of it all. And without working hard here without putting in the effort here. Number two doesn't exist. Number three doesn't exist. Number four doesn't exist.
It's like a child. I call Inspire my first child. I take care of it like I would a baby. It has needs. It has desires. It has things I have to do. By being a virtue of being a restaurateur, you have to put in the hours. You have to put in, on a minimum, I want to say like 10 to 15 hours of your day. In the days that you're home, you're spent thinking about your restaurant.
Here you are. Do you guys want any peppers or ketchup with your fries? You're good? All right, perfect.
Now, Carlton and Vanessa are going to New Market to open their second restaurant called Inspire Chapter 2. And with a new restaurant comes a whole new set of responsibilities.
What's it like working with my husband? Very, very challenging. We definitely have, I want to say, all of our fights, marital-wise, has been because of this restaurant. But it's very challenging working with somebody that you're close to because it's very hard to divide church and state, right? You can't. So for me and him, it's still an ongoing struggle that we try to carve out time now that we have a baby where it's just family. So far, it hasn't worked out in that way because work gets brought up every single day, almost every single minute in our life. And that's just the way it is, I believe. When you open up a restaurant, when you open up your own business and you love it so much, you have to talk about it. So the opportunity to open up a new restaurant is very exciting, but also, of course, very stressful. 80% of restaurants fail, which means 20% of them succeed. And that is a horrible statistic, but we've decided to join the crazy, and we just hope that everything works out.
I feel like each business is the business owner's personality. So I feel like I've put my blood, sweat, and tears into Inspire. I've put my thought into this, because they say we become what we think about, right? I feel like this is what I've thought about and this is what it's become. And why it's been successful is because I've been genuine. A lot of chefs go this route, because that's what they're taught and it's not what they really want to be. Some people want to do like fine dining, but deep down in their heart, they want to cook fried chicken. They want to do burgers. But for me, in Inspire, I feel like I've been blessed with the opportunity to do what I kind of want to do. I don't believe in success or failure. I believe in the journey. Don't look at your bank account. Don't look at your accolades. Just obviously, you'll get those along the way, but those don't define you. You know, it's like I always say, don't guard your reputation, guard your character.
This is Nicole Peterson for RSJ Radio.
Thanks, Nicole. I'll definitely have to check that place out.
Yeah, we should go for drinks there after this broadcast.
Yeah, we should. Let's wrap this thing up.
Well, we had a great show today.
Yeah, we heard about Doug Ford and Kathleen Wynne and also the success of that new Black Panther movie. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I really, really want to.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely on my list for this weekend. For RSJ Radio, I'm Lindsay Christopher.
And I'm Nicole DiDonato. Thanks for listening. If you go to Ryerson, sleep tight and don't let the bedbugs bite.
If they do, hit them with a shoe. If they don't, hit them with a shoe anyways.